Hello, and welcome to 102.9 FM WPCG Radio. We call it My Grace Radio, and you can find that at mygraceradio.com. This is Cherokee County's only Christian radio station, and I am your host of Cherokee Conversations, Lynn Saunders. Today, I'm super excited to call back an old friend who is a pastor of the Dwelling Place Church, Pastor Craig Musgrove. Welcome, Craig, and thank you for joining me today.
Oh, what a joy. It's an honor to be a part. And Lynn, I just appreciate your ministry here in Cherokee County and just had the opportunity to share a little bit about our story.
Oh, thank you so much for that. And of course, Dwelling Place, I know several people who go to your church, and there's always such energy around every conversation. And
Awesome.
so anyway, but before we really kind of get into, the church and the ministries that you've got your fingers involved in, would you share with our listeners a little bit about your personal story or coming to faith or what you
Yeah,
think?
absolutely, Lynn. So for myself, I did not grow up in a Christian home. So I grew up in the state of Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee. I would say that my parents and family were what we call CEO Christians. So we went to church Christmas and Easter only. And so at the age of 14, my life, I have an older sister who introduced me to just behaviors, activities that obviously led me down the wrong road. So by the age of 15 years old, I had a really good friend that had introduced me to alcohol, drugs at that point, smoking weed at that point, pills at that point. And so I became a sophomore in high school, and it was kind of a divine setup. We had an event at our school where it was kind of like a men's pageantry event to raise money, called Mr. Irresistible. And I participated in that event. I've always been an extreme extrovert, so just trying to do everything I can to make people laugh. And
Mr.
invited me.
Irresistible. I
Yeah,
like
Mr.
that.
Irresistible. That's
Mr.
right. Yeah,
Okay.
so we finished time, and he invited me to hang out with him that night. And so, of course, I would do that. He was like a hero to me on the football team. And I had not known, Lynn, that he had come to know Christ yet. And so I went to his house, slept there that night. And when I woke up the next morning, he said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, if you spend the night with me, you got to go to church." And so I went to church on February 10th, 2002. And when I walked into the church that morning, it was like the love of God hit me, I mean, right in the face. And as the preaching started, I mean, the Spirit of God just began to convict me. I really didn't even wait till the altar moment. I just kind of ran to the altar. And I'll never forget, I just at that point was like, "Lord, don't send me to hell." I really didn't even know what repentance was, but I just, for the first time, had saw my life and sin in the light of God's goodness and grace and holiness. And so a lady came forward, Lynn, at the altar. She kind of wrapped her arm around me and she said, "Hey, what are you here for?" And I said, "I want to give my life to Christ." And I'll never forget this, Lynn. She looked up to the ceiling. She grabbed one of my hands and she said, "Hey, Jesus, I want to introduce you to Craig Musgrove. Craig Musgrove, I want to introduce you to Jesus." And my hand was inserted into his hand, and I was radically born again. So everything in my life changed.
I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So, when you first get born again, you want to be an evangelist to those that are closest to you. So I just began to pray for my mom and dad and my sister. And within 3 weeks, this is the truth, within 3 weeks, I actually got to lead my mom. My mom was in a fight with my sister downstairs, and I was in my bedroom, and the Lord spoke to me, and my hands were shaking, and he said, "This is your mom's moment." And she came upstairs crying, I mean, just kind of weeping from the fight. And she came across the hallway where my door was open, and I worked up enough courage to say, "Mom, would you come into my room?" And she did, and she's wiping her tears, and the Lord just helped me. I said, "Would you get down on your knees with me, Mom?" And I knew no scripture. God uses our weaknesses, not our strengths, to improve his strength. And
That's
I opened the Bible, and I knew nothing but John 3:16 and Matthew 11. And Jesus, I thought I was going to read the whole scripture, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." But Jesus only needed the first three words, "Come to me." And when I read those with my mom, it was like the Spirit of God invaded the room. And I got to lead my mom to Christ there at my bedside. And that Sunday, I got to lead my dad to Christ, my sister to Christ. And so my entire family lineage was changed in a matter of about 3 months. A lot of people say, "Lynn, I found God." No. We don't find God. God finds us. And so, yeah, that's the backstory. And from there, Lynn,
Your whole family and change
yeah.
might have saved your life, might have saved theirs too.
100%, 100%. So, just thinking of the goodness of God from there, I was a sophomore in high school, just began to grow ferociously. I never had a season of sowing your wild oats because, again, I just had that before Christ. And so I had enrolled at the University of Tennessee to be a neurosurgeon. That was my heart. I love medicine. And my April of my senior year, there in my bedroom again, the Lord just kind of constrained my heart. And, we are all ministers, of course, priests unto God, but fivefold ministry, equipping ministry, Ephesians 4. I just remember like a divine constraint. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, "Hey, I've called you to equip my people and to pastor." And so I had three main mentors at that time. And within 48 hours, each of them came to me, not me to them, and confirmed that calling. And so I withdrew from UTK, entered or applied to Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee. And then
My
finished
daughters
up.
went there. Yeah, when
Oh,
my
okay. Awesome. Yeah. So finished up Lee. And while in my time at Lee, I began my first pastorate. And then from there, we went from from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then we pastored on a church on staff over in Gainesville, Georgia, called Free Chapel for 4 years.
I've heard of it.
And then we moved back to Tennessee, and I pastored on campus at Lee for 5 years at a church called North Cleveland. And then Meredith and I,
I've been there.
We moved there and moved back to Woodstock, where I'm currently at, and we planted a church called Dwelling Place Church in 2015. So we're 9 years into that. So
And that's how I know you, really,
that's
through
right.
church. Yeah.
So that's kind of a Reader's Digest version, a quick version of what God has done. So many other details, but His grace has been unrelenting and amazing in my life in all seasons. So.
And I say this to you, next. Stories like that are powerful. You should consider writing a book about it, and with some of those extraneous details, because again, someone's going to pick it up and read it, and the Lord is going to speak to them through your words and through your experiences.
Absolutely.
I think that that's just kind of plant that little seed, and one day when you do it, you'll say, that lady Lynn Saunders, she had a good idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whatever he asked me to do, but I certainly am very grateful. I'm not gonna rob him of his glory by not telling that story.
It's a great one. It is a great one. And so you're at Dwelling Place now, 9 years in. You started in a storefront on Highway 92 in Woodstock.
That's right.
And tell me about how that all came about and happened.
Absolutely. So we felt the call to church plant when we were in Cleveland, and I have a really good friend. His name is Chad Craig, and so he is the one that kind of co-pastors with me at the church. And so it's a little bit different model in the sense that we wanted to not just put all the head and leadership under one person. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Not only like, what we believe theologically or philosophy, but also just because, we see in our day and age one person, whether that male or female, sometimes can't quite hold up under all the spiritual warfare that a role like that demands. And so when we kind of launched in 2015, it was August of 2015, we just it was just amazing to see from that point forward. I had never known, Lynn, how difficult that pioneering would have been. I had in some sense an idea of what God had called us to. But again, that's why God doesn't, your word is a lamp to my feet. It's not a spotlight. It's enough to see one step in front of the other. And we just followed in obedience, and God just began to show us the next step. But we had no idea, Lynn, that we would be in a storefront. I mean, it was 5,000 square feet for 9 years. We thought it would be 2 or 3 years. But what's challenging is the mission's never changed. Our mission is to gather people to Jesus Christ, lead them to biblical maturity for the multiplication of believers, leaders, and churches. And so that's the mission that God has given us. That has not changed. A lot of times, Lynn, in today's world, we gather people to anything other than Jesus. We gather them just to our church. We gather them just to our religious conviction, or we gather them to our ideological conception. But anything that takes away or puts a distraction from the person of Jesus is going to get all of us in trouble. And so in leading people to Jesus, a lot of times, churches will birth young babies into a spiritual nursery, but because of consumerism and it's so strong and it's kind of gripped our churches, people stay as babes, crave the pure spiritual milk of the word, but they never really grow as disciples. And our heart and philosophy, Lynn, has always been the Great Commission. He said, Jesus told him, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. I know your spiritual experience was so powerful in India. That's all nations. And
Yeah.
he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and teaching them. And so for me, very early on, Lynn, I began to look at that passage in Greek, and it sounds like there's four verbs: go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. But in the original language, Jesus actually has one leading verb, and it's making disciples, mathetusate. And then he tells us, how do we do that? We do that by going. We do
Going.
that by baptizing. Well, you can't baptize non-believers. So inside of that is evangelism and teaching them. And so, a lot of times people say, well, the Great Commission is just share the gospel. Well, God wants the gospel shared, but he wants disciples to be made. And
Right.
once disciples are made, they become disciple makers, right? And then,
He
and so
wants
that's how he,
people's hearts. He wants
absolutely,
their heart.
absolutely.
Then the brain catches up, and then okay, then the hunger starts. But it's that seed's got to get planted in the heart first.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in
Yeah.
that sense, like people's head and heart are in two different zip codes. And
Yes.
so, you for us, it's always been about, hey, we want to disciple people to Christ-like maturity. So that then has, if I'm just honest with you, slowed. That's organic growth. It's not just manufactured growth. And we ran into some issues in the sense of, being in a storefront, you can't quite grow large enough. And also simultaneous to that, financially strong enough to be able to buy land even in Woodstock and Cherokee County. So in 2019, we finally had built up enough reserve that the Lord led us to a piece of land on Springfield Drive, Lynn, which is right across from where we were meeting.
Yeah,
And
real close.
we purchased that piece of land, 5.3 acres, for $500,000 cash, and we bought it. And then we thought, okay, 2020, we're going to reserve more.
Yeah,
We're going to secure a church loan. And 2020 was what it was. And then 2021, building costs were so high. So finally, in 2023, in November, we were able to secure a church loan with CDF Investments. They're an amazing, amazing church group. And we started clearing the land in 2023, November. And then it took in exactly 13 months, and we moved into our brand new facility the Sunday before Christmas, just a couple weeks ago. And so it's been a fulfilled promise to our people. You can imagine how many tears were flowing
Oh, yes.
in our
Yeah.
first few Sundays. So that's where we've been meeting the last few weeks.
That's exciting. And so how big is the sanctuary? How big is your property, the building itself, parking? I mean, yeah, there's a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we, obviously still limited in some sense financially. We got into the project, and our sanctuary itself seats about 325 folks. The building itself is a little over 10,000 square feet. So we more than doubled where we were at. And then parking is a bit of a challenge because don't want to get into all the small details, but we have a code with the city of Woodstock and where the retention pond had to be. But we have plenty of parking because we do two gatherings, Lynn. So we do 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And so yeah, that's where we've been, and getting ready for a grand opening coming up in March. So
Okay. Now I'm interested, Dwelling Place. That's an interesting name. How did that name come about for your church?
yeah. So Ephesians 2:22, Paul tells the church at Ephesus that God is building us together to become a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So church is not a building. Church is his people. And so for us, it was really, really clear, even from our branding, from our marketing, and then the way we use our language. As you can see, even here on my, I know the people listening can't see, but this is our logo. That's an open house, because we are not called to stay in the building. We're called as his dwelling place, his people, to share the love of Christ, to be the aroma of Christ to the people around us. And so yeah, dwelling place is just straight from Ephesians 22, that we are being built together to become the dwelling place of God. God inhabits us as his people.
Yeah, I'm actually taking a Hebrew alphabet class on
Oh,
weekend.
cool.
And so bet is the house. It's B. It's not a B, but it's the bet sound. And the actual symbol to the diagram, if you had the square, you take off the left-hand wall of the square, so it's an open dwelling place. And that's the second letter. The first letter is God introducing himself. And once he introduces himself, he created the earth as the dwelling place. So
Absolutely.
a lot of interesting, cool things about the Hebrew language, and I'm just kind of having fun with it.
No,
But
that's great.
so to see that, and you talked a lot about making disciples, and whew, in any kind of ministry to be successful, I think having building those good, strong, trusted relationships is that foundation.
Yeah.
And and in ministry, getting the trust of somebody is, of course, we look for God to bring us together, but we've really got to be listening to God and His direction about how to disciple, because we're all different people. I mean, there might be certain systems and plans. Yes, you do A or B after you do A, but building disciples, I think, is one thing that is probably the biggest challenge of the church, the overall global church. It's not just a Sunday service or a Wednesday service, but it's really building that community and then bringing people to that confidence
Yeah.
that, hey, I can talk to my neighbor about Christ. Yes, I
Absolutely.
can do that next thing. Where 6 months ago, 6 weeks ago, they might have thought, not me, not me.
Yeah. You're absolutely. There's a quote by a guy named Mark Matlock. He said, many Christians are have become versions of themselves who would never be able to reach the unsaved versions of themselves.
Say
That's
that
a
again.
powerful.
Say that
Yeah.
again.
So he said many Christians become versions of themselves that would never be able to reach the unsaved versions of themselves.
Yes.
So that's a powerful statement. So, you know, when you speak of like relational community, the reason why it's so important for us to be belonging to a community is because God is a community. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a, you know, this is a theological word, but a perichoretic relationality. It just means that they're intertwined with one another. And so we are best, we most come alive when we're connected with a body, we're connected with other relationships. And Lynn, I mean, it's crazy, but like Gen Z and Gen Alpha, I was reading a stat the other day that like 79% of them say they can't have a close, like person-to-person relationship with more than two people in their life. Now they're all over their digital phones, but to have like interaction personally. And so if we don't adapt to say, hey, yeah, we can utilize radio, we can utilize all the social media we need to, but we still can't forget or sacrifice the personal, vulnerable, face-to-face interactions that are so needed for people to build back that trust. And for me, the only way I know how to build that trust is a vulnerability myself. But what happens is as we age, if we don't protect our hearts, we get more and more cynical. And I have learned as leadership that cynicism relates to knowledge. So what happens is as we get one lap around life, we're kind of a little bit like, oh, we've got five team members and it's all good. But then we take a second one of those leaves and second lap of life, we're like, well, which two are going to leave me now? And then by the third time of life, it's like I'm already interviewing a person. I'm like, which of this person's going to turn their back on me? And so what happened is knowledge made our hearts cynical. So we closed down. But the problem is when we close down, it keeps us from experiencing the joys of life. And so as a leader, I'm constantly having to say, yeah, that person may do me wrong, or yeah, that person not stay committed, but I can't close my heart off. I have to be open, I have to be vulnerable, I have to consistently build those relationships with people because
That's right.
relationship is the bridge that truth travels over. If I don't build a relationship with another person, the truth of God that's in my life can't get in their life.
That's
And
right.
so, you know, it's a difficult thing in the 21st century, but at the same time, it's what God has called all of us to do. And we just have to say, how do we reach the generation? You know, and Lynn, I guess the last thing I'll say there is the generation that we're currently trying to reach, they listen with their eyes and not their ears. So,
That's interesting.
meaning. Yeah, meaning they don't care about what you say until they see it with your life. So your lifestyle has to match your words. And then, okay, there's a little bit of trust.
Well,
And
and
that.
see, yes, and in our ministry setting here, it's like people, what is the phrase? People remember how you made them feel, not necessarily what you said.
Perfect.
Yeah,
Perfect.
and so it's always that challenge. Love the unlovable, because
Yes.
sometimes I can be unlovable. Sometimes I'm sure all of us have that. those things. But loving, we all need to be loved and we and accepted and respected.
Yes.
And through those interactions, when we come then say, hey, can we pray with you today?
Of
They're like,
course.
absolutely. You
Yeah.
start prayer and the tears just flow because they get connected and they feel that if that person can love me and accept me, then the God that they're praying to is certainly able to love me and accept me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so powerful. It's
It
so
is.
powerful.
You know, in the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Jesus said the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I just try to always tell people, when we call Christ esteem, is you actually have to love yourself before you can love others. If you're not patient and gracious with yourself, you can only love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't love yourself, and this is not like a prideful love of yourself,
Good.
this is Jesus' esteem of me, that he paid the price for me. If I would have been the only one on the earth, that he still would have died for me. Now, when I know that, I'm now liberated to love others the way he loves me. And
Yeah.
so to say, oh, I'm not worth anything, that's a false humility. That's a masquerading of pride that really is saying, I'm not worthy. But people that are hard on themselves are like you're saying, they begin to cry when you pray for them. It's because they don't recognize and have known God's love for them. And when they experience that through us, and then they get into a community and learn about Christ's love for them, well, that liberates them to love others as themselves, you know? So it's a powerful principle.
It's a freedom thing.
It is.
It's really breaking a bondage of, the lies that the enemy will just sow. And it's so you when you have those down times or those times of struggle, it's really hard to separate what Jesus's truth is for us from what Satan's truth is for us. And they're very different. We
Absolutely.
were created on purpose for a purpose in a time such as this for today.
Absolutely.
And we all have value. So get off the couch and go do the valuable thing that God wants you to do is kind of, part of my message to the world. But so in the few minutes that we have left, tell us about the different ministries that you have available
Yeah.
through the church.
Absolutely. Yeah. So God's given us, Lynn, kind of a fourfold strategy. So I told you our mission earlier, but the strategy we have is what we call gatherings. That's our Sunday worship gatherings. The second one is what we call groups. So we have connect groups that meet in homes. And so right now we just launched this last week 15 of those. So they
Awesome.
happen in homes all across Cherokee County. And then the third one we have is what we call giving or giving teams. So these are teams that reach, these are teams that do ministry in the city. So we have teams that minister care. We have teams that engage in ministry downtown Woodstock. So the whole month of February, if you come downtown Woodstock, we'll be there on Friday and Saturday nights, giving out coffee and hot chocolate and just trying to start gospel conversations.
Is that downtown Woodstock, right there on Main Street?
Right there between kind of Pure Taqueria and Canyons. So
Yeah.
yeah, we just try to have gospel conversations with people and let them know that they're loved and try
What
to
are
just
those dates again?
The second to last weekend in February.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll be doing them every weekend up until our grand opening. So that's a
Okay.
yeah, so that's a you know, that's what we call our giving teams. And then the last one is what our growth phase is. So this is probably, excuse me, where we've reached the most people. Our growth phases are Thursday nights, and they are where we teach what we call the elementary teachings of Christ. And that just comes out of Hebrews 6:1. He said, therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching of Christ and move on to maturity. And then he gives us those six principles. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, saving faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And verse 3 says, and God permitting, we will do so. So what happened is our other co-pastor, Pastor Chad, he's written a full curriculum that is four entire phases that we take people through for a year and a half. So,
Powerful.
yeah. And so they're 12-week classes that we do 3 times a year, and it takes about a year and a half. So those are our kind of fourfold strategy the Lord's given us as a church. And so some people come into the church through groups, some people come through growth phases, some people come on a Sunday morning, others come through giving teams. And so, you
Wow,
know,
downtown Woodstock. I get it. Yeah.
yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, we've just got a minute or so left. What is the address of your new building? What is your website? Tell
Yes.
people how they can engage.
Absolutely. So our address is 414 Springfield Drive, Woodstock, Georgia. And so if you're coming down Main Street going south and you get to 92, you take a left, you go over the railroad tracks. When you get to the bottom of the hill, that first road on your left is Springfield Drive. And we're 200 yards on the right. So that's where we are, a new facility. Our website, though, is dwellingplacemovement.org. And of course, that's the best place to. You're probably, if you're listening today, you're going to see a billboard on 92 that we're putting up. We're going to be just blanketing the city, Lynn, over the next few weeks because we have our grand opening on March 16th. So it's a 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1 p.m. So we're really excited about those three gatherings.
You're going to have an extra gathering then on your grand opening day.
Correct.
9,
Yes, ma'am.
11, and 1. Y'all are
That's
going to
right.
be tired.
We're going to be really tired. Yeah. But our
But
team is ready.
what a great celebration. Well, Pastor Craig, it has been a real pleasure talking to you. I'm so excited about the church and all that. I might just have to come find you for some of that hot chocolate on those Friday nights.
Yeah, we'd
And
love to see it.
And I just, pray a blessing over you, over your church and the leadership that surrounds you, that you all are in the same spirit and God's voice is unanimous and he'll lead his people that way. And I just pray that your church touches many, many, many people and changes many, many lives.
Well, I thank you for that, Lynn. It's a blessing to be on here and just encouragement to see what you're doing and just know that the Lord's using this voice and any capacity to reach lives. And I know that He'll continue to bless you as you stay in His will. So God
Well,
bless you.
God bless you too, sir. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.